Yes, we are out here, Mark. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
All right, fine. We're just trying to get some more speakers coming around, lined up. Rory is going to be coming here. And Rory, why don't you come up first, and we'll get you first, and then we'll come with Ryan and one of our speakers here earlier. And well, Rory, you got a pretty good turnout considering the weather. We didn't get all that stuff they got down south.
No, it can stay down there. Last week we were in Sioux Falls, and there wasn't hardly any snow anyway, so they need a little snow down there.
We kept talking to those guys down in the southern part of the state and say, yeah, this is like summer down here. You guys are up in the tundra up there in the north. And yeah, it's that's all right. Our highway crews needed some time off anyway.
That's for sure. With the rain on Christmas Day and all the ice that we've had and the snow, I guess we need a little break up north.
Well, what's happening out here today? I know, Rory, you always put together such a good program every day. And right now, Dan's on there speaking, Dan O'Brien, with Top Third Marketing. And that's really a good firm. I've talked to them before, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, we try to bring speakers from, basically try to bring them from out of state to try to educate growers around the country. And we actually go down to the Commodity Classic every year, and we listen to a lot of different speakers there, and then we try to bring them up towards, bring them to the north anyway, and do a little more educational talks. But yeah, they have a very good marketing program with the lower commodity prices. You know, we thought it was pretty important to bring a marketing group in. Last year we brought a different marketing group in, so get different perspectives on the marketing, and it's so important now with the lower commodity prices.
You know, I talked to Dan earlier before, and I guess he's speaking right now. He was saying every year, Mark, one of the guys that works out there with him, he was saying every year in the last 40 years, you can sell grain at a profit. The object is knowing when it is.
Yeah, that's right. And the big thing that I find with a lot of growers is that they want to hit the top. And if you look at that, if anybody's ever done marketing or so forth, it's really hard to do. But if you can get in that top 75%, you're probably better off year in and year out.
Old economists used to tell, well, Art Song, who is a lot of the older farmers know, always used to say that 3/4 of farmers sell their grain at a bottom quarter of the market.
Yeah, that is true. But you know, that's why I think marketing is probably one of the key components for the next couple of years to get through these lower commodity times. But we need to make sure that we are marketing the right way. We've had a good, nice jump here, and had a nice rally here that's been going on lately. Had one of the biggest soybean and corn crops that we've ever had. Yeah, but yet the market's kind of come up. So really, that's a blessing for us to get an opportunity to price some of our grain that we've got in the bin, or actually price in the future too as well.
Well, we've gotten a lot better on the marketing. You know, that was quite a few years ago, but we've gotten, and guys are starting to look forward and maybe knowing their cost of production and sneaking that in. Expenses they can't always do a whole lot with. Most of it's going to be in the marketing.
Absolutely. You know, when you start cutting input costs, and I know a lot of banks are pressuring guys to cut their costs, but you got to look at what you're cutting. Because if you're cutting a cost that's actually going to cost you at the end, it really hurts you more than it helps you.
And a farm for a disaster, you're going to get one.
Well, that's just it. You know, it's just like you take a look at last year. You know, when we look at July, I had a lot of people say, well, why didn't farmers price their grain in July? Well, if you remember after the 4th of July, we were kind of right on that point where we didn't even know if we were going to get a crop. So it's pretty hard to pull the trigger when you should maybe be pricing some grain, but then you look at your field and say, boy, another week of no rain, we might not have anything. So, I mean, it's a tough situation, but if we would have just gave up then and not fertilized earlier or not, you know, didn't spray stuff right, you know, look at the yields we have. And without them yields, you know, there's less money in our pocket.
We got to maybe change our thinking a little bit that, you know, that maybe these hybrids that we've got and some of the breeding behind them, that we may be able to handle some of these conditions a lot better than what we used to think back 10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have to embrace the changes and the technologies that are coming to the market. You know, these companies, we just got done talking about Roundup Extend, and you know, it's a new technology, and with the new technology, there's always concerns. But yet, if you take a look at our history without them technologies, without the GMOs, where would we be at today? And we have to continue to push to get higher yields. And if you look at what our demand's going to be down the road, we are going to need higher yields to feed that demand in the future.
Because we're not talking about the United States, we're talking worldwide.
Absolutely. Worldwide is, you know, it used to be we just worried about the U.S., and now this is a whole different game. Like, we have to feed the world. You know, people talk about, well, the corn and bean prices are low, but when you look at corn and beans, we're always one day away from a disaster. And one bad remark can bring that market up so high that it really can move quickly and fast. Wheat, on the other hand, you know, there's such a global glut of wheat that, you know, we could not plant a kernel in the U.S. and we'd still have a glut of wheat, you know, going in the future. So corn and beans are the future, I believe. I mean, if I'm farming, I'm going to be planting corn and beans.
One thing we've noticed is, you know, back in the old days, wheat used to be worldwide, and you know, corn and beans were more toward the United States and then maybe Brazil, but now there's going to be a lot more countries starting to move into these new technologies.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I'm going to get on this technology thing. You know, before we had BT corn, you know, where were our yields at? And once we had it, where are we at today? And would we be able to reach, you know, in some cases we had some guys that were hitting up to 275, you know, North Dakota over 210 bushel per acre. When you take a look at that, that's dry land corn. And when you take a look at that, if we wouldn't have the technology we have today, where would we be at?
The thing, we've been seeing the corns go up, but the last couple of years we've really been seeing maybe the beans making that. We were wondering where they were because the technology was going. Are we getting to be better farmers and understanding the bean a little more? I think the breeding was there, but are we taking care of them a little better?
Well, see, that's just it. You know, it seems like we had a lot of people satisfied, well, you know, beans are just going to yield 40 bushel, so why put all this into it? But when you take a look at what they've done in the South with the bean market, you know, the bean yields, they're feeding that just like we had to feed corn. When we started to push our corns up to that 200 bushel, we were feeding it pretty hard to get it to that level. Beans are no different. We're going to have to do different things than what we've done in the past to get that 40 up to 60. And I think this year was a proven fact of, you know, if we continue to treat beans well, of course we need rain in August to make beans. But if we don't take the steps to get it up to that 60 and 70 bushels an acre, maybe even 80 bushel an acre, we need to do some different things, just like we did with corn.
Well, you know, they already said we didn't have to fertilize beans, but I think we're getting to that point where that bean just doesn't have enough to produce its own food. We might have to give that a little more bigger shot if we want to get up, like you say, in 60, 70, and some are even looking. Last year, we had some fields going 80 a little further south.
Yeah, we actually hit in our little plot, my farming anyway, we have 8 acres, but anyway, we actually did have a bean the first time ever. We had right about 84 bushel of the acre, and the potential's there. You know, we talk about 80, 90, 100 bushel beans. The potential is definitely there. We just need to make sure that we're doing the right things to get it there.
And I guess Mother Nature is always going to be our sole helper or hinderer or whatever, and we know that. We'd know that for farming. But everybody looks at cutting the expenses, like we said. But the big thing is the marketing. Know your marketing and know when you can sell it.
Yeah. The big thing is don't plan for a disaster. You know, we got to be optimistic. If we're, and most farmers are that way, but let's plan, be optimistic, and let's do the right things to get them higher yields because, again, bushels pay the bills.
Well, so your sales have been going on for quite a while. We usually see a lot of sales that used to be back in the March, and now they're all in December and even earlier, some of that. Some are even buying almost before they get it harvested. But is everything going up, or are we kind of seeing those kind of sitting still here, waiting to see what happens?
Oh, I think, you know, our sales are up right now in corn and beans both. But I do believe there's quite a few guys that haven't bought all of their seed for this coming year. I think they're trying to tend to see, am I going to plant this last quarter or half section to beans, or am I going to, you know, plant it to corn? So I think some of them decisions are being made too. It's always a good test on your crop insurance too, the end of the month, end of February anyway, you know, where the price protection point is. I think that's going to be a deciding factor on what that last quarter is going to be as well.
Well, and it God depends. Mother Nature dictates sometimes in the spring when we can get in and what we can plant.
Well, yeah, and you know, last year we got planted in really good shape. This year, you know, we have some moisture coming in, and we've got some good moisture there to get everything started. So are we going to have a wet spring, aren't we? And yeah, that will dictate, as long as they didn't fertilize for corn, you know, in the fall, or they can't switch it to beans because of what do they fertilize for. But yeah, weather is always a factor on what actually gets planted and when it gets planted.
Well, and we're going to be a lot cooler probably this spring unless something can change. But we're colder temperatures than we were last year. Maine, I want to be thinking about putting some of that seed treatment in your budget, if you have it.
Yeah, seed treatments are huge. I know it's one of them things where it's really hard for a farmer to see if it really pays or not. When you look over time, and I've been in this over 30 years, but when you look at the crops, look at how many seed treatments are actually on corn that they're buying today. And that has a factor on what it's yielding. Soybeans planted naked, to me, is a big mistake. You have to be able to put seed treatments on this soybeans as well. And, you know, that's not going to be 100% hit every year. But when you look at a 5- and 10-year peer average, you're going to, seed treatments will pay for themselves very easily and put money in your pocket.
Well, we know that even if they're stunted just a little bit or hit something early in the year, that's going to make a big payment at the end.
You know, we talk about, you know, emergence, but when you have a plant that's late emergence, corn plant or even a soybean plant, that late emergent plant is really considered a weed. And it's hard to believe, but it's absolutely true. So getting the uniform emergence and getting it up as quickly as you can is very, very important to a high yield.
Sometimes you can't see what's happening underneath, and they've been saying, Fred Scholick way a long time ago said we lose 10% of the crop before we ever get it out of the ground.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had guys that said, well, I really probably don't need to treat my beans this year because look at the weather. You know, golly, it's just fantastic. But how many times has it been where we put it in the ground and all of a sudden we get 10 days of cold, wet weather? You can't treat it then when it's in the ground already and it's sitting there for a long period of time. And that's where it really pays off. So if we can really understand what the weather's going to do every day, then you can guess of when you're not going to, you know, treat your seed or not. But I haven't found anybody that can tell me what the weather's going to do.
Well, we spent a lot of money on seed placement, which is extremely important as well. But don't forget the other stuff that you have to goes along with it.
Absolutely. Again, the big thing is don't plan for disaster. Let's go after that yield and let's do it right. Don't overspend by all means, but let's just do the common sense approach and do the things right so we can get the higher yields.
All right, Rory, I know you got a big meeting and a lot of things going on. I'll let you go. But again, they can contact you anytime on anything.
Oh, absolutely. Just give our office a call, 605-874-2550. Call any of our sales guys. We'll be more than happy to talk to them. And we'd just like to thank all of our customers that have been there for us. We're actually starting our ace season. It's hard to believe, but the overwhelming support that we received over the last 8 years has just been fantastic. So we sure appreciate it.
You've kind of expanded a little bit too.
Yeah, actually we have. We have a place in Mobridge now. We got a couple guys out there. We've got a couple guys in North Dakota. So we're up in that Catherine, North Dakota, and Courtney, North Dakota as well. So we've kind of kept expanding out a little bit. And overall, you know, people ask why we're doing that. Overall, it's trying to keep an independent, still very, very competitive in the marketplace. It's no different than farming, I guess. The volume is very important to make sure we're competitive in the market.
All right, Rory, thank you very much again. We're talking to Rory Olerud with AgriPartners here at his Growers Informational Meeting.